Hello, this is Jeff Gaudiosi, and you're on MisplacedDraws.com, where music comes to life. And everyone has been hit hard by the pandemic in the past year. Some of us have been lucky enough to have jobs that allow us to keep working from home, but for many, particularly in the music business, they're not so lucky. Touring crews have been out of work for almost a year with no definite return in sight. Luckily, people like my next guest and his band Foreigner are there to help out the people to keep them on the road. Jeff Pilson is here today to talk about what you can do to help the Foreigner touring crew get through these tough times. Welcome, Jeff.
Well, thank you and welcome. Welcome to you, Jeff, to your own podcast.
So, I mean, Foreigner has really stepped up in a big way to help out its touring crew. Talk a bit about the special online shop that's been
right. Well, what we're doing, if you go to foreigneronline.com, you'll find, you got to look and click around a bit, but because we had some problems with some of the website stuff at one time, I believe it's sorted out, but I think we got a little more traffic than we realized. So, but if you go to foreigneronline.com, that'll somehow get you to the right place. Anyway, what we're trying to do is we're trying to auction off things to raise money for our crew. And we're doing things like I got a guitar donated by Breedlove Guitars. And it's a beautiful acoustic guitar, sounds and plays wonderful. We will autograph that to whoever buys it personally, and then we will send it to them. What we're trying to do is just raise money for our poor crew who this is what they do. They don't do anything else. This is their career, and their whole career was just completely upended for a year. And we just felt like we had to do something. So we're going out there. We're finding, Kelly got a pair of his stage pants and some shoes that he's going to auction off. We have t-shirts that we're auctioning off. We have other things from vendors that are out there. So there's an online store at foreigneronline.com that will be a wealth of things that you can bid on. And when you're doing so, you're doing it for a real good cause, because our crew are not only wonderful people, but they're the best at what they do. And they don't, through no fault of their own, they're without work for a year.
And I was actually going through the site, and it's not just auctions. You guys have stuff for sale too, like vintage t-shirts and stuff like that.
That's
and it
right.
looks as though like the products and bundles you have change pretty regularly, so it's
correct.
Not just a one-time thing.
That's correct.
And about how long is the shop going to be online for?
Oh, it's going to be on for the foreseeable future. I mean, we don't really know when everybody's coming back to work, so that aspect of it will probably maintain for a while. We always have an online store. You can always buy stuff. But as far as it being for the crew, that's going to be until we're well working again.
And speaking of that, I mean, how is the band kept busy during all this? Any chance of new studio music?
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, we are working on some new music. There's a couple different songs that have been beating around here, so there's some things we're working on. I have no concept of when that would happen, because in Foreigner world, it's not about when, it's about how, is it ready? And Mick Jones has a very, very high precedent, so so I won't guarantee any time when, but we are working on music. In fact, I just got an email just before I spoke with you from Mix assistant, and we're going to meet on Friday to talk about stuff on Zoom, of course. but there is some new material. I mean, I've been keeping busy with other projects, as have some of the other band members. I've actually recorded two albums already this year, as well as doing, numerous other sessions and things like that. Yeah. But I have the Heavy Hitters CD that came out December 18th, and which is a cover record with George Lynch that you might know about, because apparently you interviewed George Lynch very recently. And that's us just having fun doing covers. It came out great. And then we have another End Machine record that's going to come out in April, and we just finished mixing and mastering that. So you'll start hearing about that soon. So that's what I've been doing to keep busy. Spending a lot of time with my family, which has been wonderful. But mostly spending a lot of time in the studio, which that part of it has been great.
And, you know, one of the other projects you've worked on this past year was the amazing record with Black Swan, with Robin McCauley, Rev Beach, and Matt Starr. And I've had a chance to talk to Rev a couple of times about that record. Definitely one of my favorites of the year.
Considering
how well-received it was, do you see a follow-up to that in the future?
Oh, no, there's absolutely a follow-up. Rev's probably going to come here in the middle of January to start work on that. We're going to start writing on that. That is going to be a big focus of 2021 is doing a new Black Swan record. So looking forward to that for sure.
And, you know, you do a lot of production work as well as your own bands. Is it almost as satisfying to help another band bring their creation to life as it is to work your own band?
It's every bit as satisfying in slightly different ways. There is a different feeling when you're kind of in the band as opposed to just producing. But both achieve the same. I mean, I still feel the same way about the overall project, whether I'm in it or not, as far as, you know, being a producer for it and my, you know, my objectivity as a producer that I try not to let that change. Sure. When you're playing, there's little things that are different. And when it's your band, you know, you feel a different kind of pressure. But they're different, but they're both about at the same intensity level.
Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough back at the end of 2019 to catch one of the Then and Now Foreigner shows that you guys did at Mohegan Sun. And, you know, and for people that don't know, that was, you know, the current version of Foreigner does a set. The classic lineup does a set, and then you guys all play together. I mean, it makes for an incredible night. What's it like for you to watch the classic lineup, and what was their reaction to how well this lineup plays those songs?
Okay, well, that's two questions. Yeah. Basically, my reaction is I'm excited because I was a Foreigner fan. So for me, it's really fun. But beyond that, you know, I also – because I'm the musical director, I kind of run the rehearsals. So I even their rehearsals, I kind of run. So it's really exhilarating for me because not only do I love the band, but I love the people. They're wonderful people. And we've just established the most delightful rapport between all of us. I think to answer the second question, I think they actually – well, I know they've all said in their own way how much they love and respect the way we do the music. And you know, of course, they've got to be grateful because, you know, Foreigner does considerably better than a lot of bands as in catalog sales. So, yeah, there's an upside for them there as well. But honestly, I think they respect the way we respect their music and yet give it what we have. You know, I mean, it's a pretty ideal working relationship between the two sets of bands, and that's a very, very cool thing.
Yeah, and I mentioned right after I had seen that show that that tour, I think, sort of really served as a passing of the torch, you know, almost like that original classic lineup, you know, blessing you guys, because you guys have worked your asses off over the past 15 years with this lineup. And for people who have thought, well, I'm not going to go see it because it's not Lou Gramm, it's not the originals, they're really missing out on a great show. So I think doing a tour like that almost, you know, was, you know, the passing of the torch and the blessing of that classic band.
Yeah, you know, maybe in an indirect way, sure. I mean, I do think they have given us their blessing. So, well, I know it. I mean, it killed us outright. you know what I'm most proud of? I'm most proud of the fact that most bands get into such hostility between the new and old lineup and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I mean, I think to, you know, Kiss and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, not letting the two guys come up and play and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just so glad that we're beyond that. I really am. That to me feels like an evolution that's really healthy. And I think I know the fans love it. And it makes for both bands to do better. I mean, I think when we get up there and play, we kick each other's butt, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. let's go. And it's like, I wouldn't call it a competition really, but a motivation.
Right. Everybody wants
they are what they are.
Good.
We are,
yeah.
what we are, you know, mm-hmm. But we're all, you know, the common bond is this delightful music that Mick and in many mm-hmm. cases Lou came up with. And it's just, it really makes for a great evening, and it makes for a great long-term band relationship mm-hmm. that I think has helped carry the torch down the line. And so, you know, if they're passing it to us, we're going to run to the finish line.
And as I mentioned, you've been with Foreigner for over 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
You've lived and breathed these songs. You've seen the crowd reaction to the lineups and the songs. What are your thoughts about why Foreigner hasn't even been nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? To me, that's just one of the biggest snubs that exists.
Well, I mean, I think it's very, very simple why, and that's mm-hmm. because critics were never all that, you know, into Foreigner. They always mm-hmm. viewed it as very commercial and corporate, which, you know, that's, I mean, critics, you always have to see mm-hmm. where critics are coming from. And to them, when something sells a lot of records, in most cases, they will view that as having been for some, because of some kind of compromise made by the artist. And sure. I just don't feel like Foreigner did that. I feel mm-hmm. like we made honest music that's just really good that people happen to like. So to answer your question, I think they just looked down on the band, and mm-hmm. that's okay. They're critics. That's what they yeah. do. But I have a feeling that that has a lot to do with it, because the Academy and everything very much reflects on that whole credible side of things. And Foreigner was just never included that. I think over time, I think someday Foreigner will get inducted. Mm-hmm. I don't think I will, but I've nor necessarily should I, but I think the band will, and I do think the original guys really do deserve their due, because there's a lot. I know bands like Dokken that I was in the 80s. We used Foreigner as an example. That was you know, that was what helped us to, you know, solidify the idea of hard rock with great songs and big catchy choruses. You know, now and that comes, you know, partly from Foreigner. So mm-hmm. Foreigner does deserve its just due, and hopefully with time it will get it.
I hope. And in your career, you've had a pretty amazing career just in terms of the people you've played with and the work you've done. And you spent some time playing with the late, great Ronnie James Dio. Actually, one of my favorite Dio records, Strange Highways.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
What was it like writing and recording and just being in that creative process with someone like Ronnie?
Wow. Really a tremendous experience. You know, Ronnie was that period, when, especially when we made Strange Highways, because mm-hmm. when we made Strange Highways, that was done pretty much from scratch, where we just got together and started playing, coming up with stuff, and then Ronnie would take it home and write lyrics to it, you know. Mm-hmm. And we'd all sit in a room, you know, Tracy and Vinny and I would just start jamming and record stuff. And then Ronnie would say, yeah, record, okay, let me get a recording of that part right there. Let me take that home, you know, and I like that. Hey, you know, and we'd just all work on it together. It was tremendously inspired. It was really exciting, and we could feel that we were coming up with something fresh and new. And, you know, it's funny, because over the years, at the time, a lot of Dio fans didn't get that record. They really didn't. And I could see where it was different in a lot of ways. It was definitely a more modern approach than they were used to from Dio, especially at the time. But I'm really pleased to see over time a lot of people have warmed to that record. And I mean, it was done with all the genuine heart that any artist would have. So I'm pleased to see that. But to answer your question, it was just a fabulous experience. Ronnie's a wonderful person. He was a wonderful musician, all-around musician. And it was just a great band. It had the feeling, you know, you'd walk in the room knowing, wow, we're a friggin' great band and we're going to kick ass. That's a great feeling.
Well, we've been spending some time here with the amazing Jeff Pilson, bass player for Foreigner. And once again, if you go to the Foreigner online site, and I'll have the links underneath this interview, on their web shop. There's a bunch of special items that you can purchase and bid on. The proceeds going to help the crew that keeps Foreigner on the road, and they've been out of work for a while, so definitely need your help. Everyone check it out. Jeff, I can't thank you enough. It's been great for me to talk to you as
I've
been a fan for most of my life. So, it's been cool. Thank you.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that, and just glad to have you on board. Thank you for all your help with this, too, and our crew thanks you.
Best of luck with the site, and hopefully we can catch you on the road sometime soon.
Yeah, let's hope. Sometime in 2021, I'm sure. Thanks, man.
Definitely. You got it, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.